waiting for me to let him back in. Even if it's a beautiful day, he's waiting, and he'll take off and run to the porch, and he'll stop and look and wait. And I said, I'm not coming in. And he knows exactly what that means. I got ahead of you because I came out to go somewhere else. Or it's same thing coming out of the house. He tears off and heads straight to the barn. I'm going to the truck. And he just stands there and acts disappointed because he thought he knew where I was going. How many times do we do that with God? God opens a door. We see something down the road. We get our blinders on. We forget to see what he's taking us to. You do realize that the land of Israel was 3 days, the land of Canaan was 3 days away from Goshen. 3 days walk. Did God take them straight out the gate and say, all right, now go this way for 100 miles? No, he said, let's go here first. And by the way, if you follow the path, it follows the, what they call wadis or little valleys. And there's even a road through there now. And then he took them to a sea. And said, by the way, there's an entire army behind you and they want to kill you. That's a good feeling, isn't it? Can't go this way, can't go that way, can't go that way, and the people behind us want to kill us. You ever had a day like that? It just feels like I can't go that way, or that way, and the guy behind me wants to kill me. God said, trust me. Trust me. Okay, I got a few announcements here real quick. Today is Building Fund Offering Day, so thank you for giving as the Lord leads. By the way, did y'all notice the big pile of rocks is gone? Rocks and dirt. We have 2.5 parking spots back. Also, and I know this is vitally important, see, Santa and the elves operate on these as well, but so do OCC workers. If you'd like to provide cookies for Operation Christmas Child, drop off center visitors and volunteers. Also need a couple more days of lunch for our volunteers covered. If you're interested in any of this, please see the sign-up sheet on the OCC table in the hallway. Signing up helps Miss Vicki Hurt and crew to know how much to plan for the week. So tomorrow also marks the kickoff, thus my shirt. Notice it's not white. I can't wear white shirts. Last white shirt I bought, I went and ate lasagna and looked down like, you got to be kidding me. Right down the front of it. If you would like to know how you can help at the drop-off center here at His Feet, please see Vicki Hart or Sarah Hanshaw for details. It starts Monday, and you can go look at the times, and it'll end the following Monday on the 21st. And, oh, yes, again, reiterate, next Sunday, the 20th, please be sure to have your packed OCC boxes here and ready to be counted with At His Feet's total, okay, so that we can take care of the shipping on the following Monday. Now, again, I'm going to say this just, this is for this body. I realize standing back here as you were saying that, this is going out beyond our church. This is something we provide for the members and the people that attend At His Feet, okay? So, yeah. And also, next Sunday, is the December newsletter information is due. Please have it to Miss Vicki Hart by that time. Now, at this point, I believe Miss Carsey has something she'd like to share real quick.
First of all, I'm a little nervous and excited, so I'm sorry if my voice shakes. Second of all, I realized I never got to thank you all in person for all of your donations this last July. I went to Florida to volunteer at the Life Conference to bring awareness to sex trafficking and human trafficking. And so I wanted to say thank you. You guys provided enough for me and my friend Rebecca to both go to Life and then donate an additional $900 to the Silver Linings Missions. They sent that money along with I'm pretty sure the number was in the tens of thousands to orphans in Myanmar. I can't pronounce that country right, but I'm pretty sure that's it. So that's the, I guess, overview. Second, I want to extend this invitation from the Galleon Alliance Church to you all. This past July, you all funded for me to go, me and my friend, to go to volunteer at the Life Conference. Today, we're sharing a recreation of the justice experience that we had the privilege to work. It is being held at Rebecca's Church, and you are all invited. The Galleon Alliance Church is located at 430 Portland Way in Galleon, or down 598 beside the city schools. It's being held this evening, and you're welcome to come anytime between 6 and 7. If you would like the address again or have any other questions, please let me know after service. I can answer whatever. I hope to see you there.
Explain to them about 10-minute increments or whatever it is.
So the experience is we lead groups of 10 people in. If we have a bunch of people show up, we might extend that to more people, but the entire experience may take up to 40 minutes, maybe more if there's a lot of waiting. So if you guys want to spread out the time you come, if you want to come later, that might be helpful, just because we will be leading people through in smaller groups. So if there's a ton of people, you might have like a longer waiting time. So yeah, exactly.
Talk amongst yourselves, have revival. All right, praise God. Yes. Okay. I think that was all I had. By the way, just so you all know, I have already started getting some praise reports on some of the things we prayed for last week. So, understand, God does move. Just because you may not have heard about it the following week, or maybe you didn't see what you were praying for happen that week, it will happen. You have to trust and believe. Amen? Let's bless us. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your kindness. Lord, I do thank you that we were able to give in to this mission to help Carsey and her friend go and learn more about you and to help these people who are being trafficked across this country and even in other countries. Lord, I thank you right now that we are a part of that. Now, Lord, we bless that operation. And Father, we thank you to be able to give you our tithes and offerings. We pray that you bless that now, Lord, because that is where we gave from. Lord, we gave above and beyond, and we give you all the honor for what you do. Father, it is all yours. This is yours. So we present it to you today. Bless it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the Super Kids can be dismissed. We are running a few short on those today. I know my two little ones are not feeling the greatest. And so we've had a few this week. Oh, she's feeling left out. But praise God. Oh. That's quite the bag to have to carry for such a little guy. Praise God. You know, if you listen to people today, they make serving God sound like it's so difficult. And I think I left my remote back here, Jason. But they make serving God to be a difficult thing. Thank you, sir. And I love having Jason. We're going to pray that this is a more regular thing again. They called him this morning and said, no work today. Well, all right. But anyhow, serving God is not hard. It can be a little difficult sometimes, can't it? Because, especially if you're looking at saying, well, God did this. It's kind of hard to serve somebody who's doing things bad. And the truth of the matter is, God doesn't do the bad. God doesn't bring evil into our lives. Do we learn from it? Absolutely. But you need to understand something. There is a choice made in everything. We choose to serve God and follow Him, or we choose to disobey him. That is it. And if you choose to disobey, God's not on your side. It's simple. He's not on your side. You're either for him or you're against him. If you're for him, you obey him. So Jesus said, if you love me, then you'll obey my commandments. One of them was to love each other. And that love goes beyond what the world is saying. We'll love one another. That's a perversion of the scripture. I'm sorry. That is a perversion. What he's talking about is, I love you no matter what. I love you that we don't agree. I know a lot of people in here don't agree with me on things, and I don't agree with you. But we still love each other. Right? I don't agree with my family all the time. I don't agree with my wife. And she don't agree with me all the time. But I promise you, try to get between us. You will be missing some body parts. And there will be crooked teeth marks in you. I just assumed bite. I'm sorry. Now I know why all these old guys in the nursing homes, they bite. They just don't feel like fighting. Just bite. I figure they got a new set of chompers. They're good and sharp. But God has only ever asked you one thing. To trust him. Do you trust me? Well, do you, Noah? I'm asking you to build a vessel that the world has not seen the type of yet. And I'm asking you to build it someplace that's not on the seashore. You do realize all these massive ships are built next to big rivers, oceans. They're built somewhere where they can just roll them off. I love watching those videos. And them launching these ships. There's one in particular. I see it all the time. They launch a ship sideways into this river, and there's a road at the edge of the river, and half the water goes across the road. But they launch these huge ships because God had something else in mind. He was bringing the water to the ship. But for 120 years, Noah preached that God was going to bring judgment. Okay, somebody preaching that God's going to bring judgment for 10 years gets a little old, doesn't it? How about 120? Trees have to be cut down. And yet, Noah continued to preach the gospel. You know what the gospel is? Good news. He said, repent. Repent. That is the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. It is not how to get rich. It is not even how to be healed. It is how to avoid hell. The gospel is good news, that there is repentance for sin. There is forgiveness for our sin. That is the gospel. And that we can change. We have the power by listening to God to change. And if we do not, we are doomed to keep repeating that cycle. I know people, they are like, oh, I'm on a 7-year cycle. It's like clockwork comes around. Get off the stinking treadmill. Change your life. You do not have to stay on this treadmill over and over and over and over and over and over. When are you going to get sick of it? Well, it's just the way life is. No, it isn't. It's the way you chose to have your life. You chose to do this. God didn't mean for you to have to do this over and over and over. You did. You're the one who rejected what he has said. He said, all I want you to do is trust me. So Noah, build me an ark. I want you to build this ark. And this is the dimensions. This is what I want you to do. After the ark, Abraham, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave them. And I want you to go to a land I'm going to show you. Now, there were people there. But for Abraham, he'd never been there. And God led him and took him. And he said, wherever your feet go, wherever you step, that is your what I'm giving you. Man, I tell you what, I don't care, bum knee or not. I'm going to take all the ibuprofen I can, and I'm going mountain climbing. I'm going everywhere. I'm claiming what God has given me, right? But it required obedience. See, God chose Abraham because Abraham turned away from the idols. Abraham had an influence in his life who told him about the one true God, because this person saw the power of God. And that was none other than Shem, his uncle. Great uncle. I forget exactly where, I just call him his uncle. Shem also shows up in the Bible later under a different name. Well, I don't know why the Bible has to have all these different names. You know, why can't we just call this person that? Okay, so to her, I'm honey. Anybody else in here calls me honey, we got a problem. Okay, babe, sugar. Somebody, you call me pastor. My buddies in the Marine Corps called me Woody. They called me corporal. People that don't know me, hey you. I'll answer. But I'm the same person, aren't I? Shem shows up in the Bible later under another name, Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a high priest to the Lord. He was the only one who really knew God's power. So Abraham follows God. He's obeying God. Stuff happened in his life, didn't it? Well, I'm going to tell you what the first thing was. Abraham didn't 100% obey. Did he? Read the Bible. Look at it again. Everybody look. Oh, Abraham, the father of Abraham, he's infallible. We're all fallible. Jesus Christ is the only one infallible. We can look at Noah. Hey, look, Noah, he's a drunk. What's he do? Goes out, plants a vineyard. Okay, great. What's the next thing he's known for? You got the ark and laying in your tent for 3 days naked. Because you're so drunk. That's what he's known, and for cursing his son Canaan. Who produced all, not Canaan, but he produced all Canaan. That's Ham. All that he did, we have to throw that in now too. But Abraham, he took Lot with him. God said, leave your family. Abraham takes his brother's son Lot with him. So Lot comes along. Abraham's being blessed abundantly. He's got sheep everywhere. He's got donkeys. He's got camels. He's got servants. He's got enough servants to raise an army. Do you understand the size of this man's caravan? Here's the problem. So does Lot, because he fell in under the blessing. Abraham says, we have got to split. Our workers are fighting. He took him to the top of a hill and he said, now mind you, this is Abraham's inheritance, not Lot's. God did not promise Lot diddly squat. He gets up on the mountain, he says, pick the direction you're going and I will go the opposite. God did not negotiate with Lot. He negotiated with Abraham. But Lot chose the best ground. It was lush. It was green. Lots of pasture. Mega cities over that way. You know, you had Sodom, you had Gomorrah, and there was five other satellite villages. So, you know, you had your outskirts and, you know, your suburbs. He's like, yeah, we can, you know, we can live in town and our sheep can stay outside of town. Well, we remember how that worked out for Lot, who lost everything. Incest with his daughters created one of the most perverse people to ever walk the planet. Sexually perverse. It also required Abraham to come riding in with his army and get Lot away from this king. Abraham didn't ever have to do that, but he did it. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, disobedience brought that. My disobedience brought a tree. Just telling you. God tells you to do something, you better do it. He says, step to the side. Step to the side. Don't ask why. I mean, come on, are you the Wile E. Coyote? God says, step aside. Oh, ain't nothing going to hit me. I'm going to go out here. Boom. That's the way it happens with the coyote. Sorry. So Abraham goes along again. He listens to somebody else. God said, I will bless you through Sarah, your wife. He takes it upon himself to do something else. Creates the total opposition to Isaac. For those of you that do not know, the Arabs and Muslims in particular claim that Ishmael is that was the chosen son. That it was Ishmael who was sacrificed. And yet it wasn't. Because he was not the son of promise. Isaac was. But God still blessed him because of Abraham. How about Daniel? Daniel was a good man. He was a wise man. He walked with God. He was in captivity. Do you realize that he was a prisoner? But because he listened to God, because he obeyed God, even in captivity, God exalted him. And he was exalting him so much that the other satraps, they looked at him and they said, you know what? I'm a little jealous of you. Why are you getting promoted and not me? What are you doing better than me? And they started noticing something. You want to get any king's attention? Start patting his ego. You want to get any politician's attention? Pat their ego. The more you pat their ego, the better you look in their eyes. But the second you oppose them, you're gone. Just like General Mattis. Do you know that's why he was fired, right? He didn't agree. I'd rather have a general that's willing to say, hey, whoa, pump the brakes here, Jack. I'm a military man. You are not. You went to military school. I went to war. Pump the brakes. The second you quit pumping up somebody's ego, they got no use for you anymore. So these satraps all looked around. They said, how do we get him? We know. We'll get Darius. Darius is the only one who can do anything because Darius is the one who keeps promoting him, right? Gets him up there and they say, hey, how about we create a law? Nobody can pray for 30 days to anybody but you. What is a man going to do? What's my praying to Johnny going to do? Nothing. Pump up his ego maybe. But it's not going to do me any good. And that's what they did, and they caught him. They knew that he was faithful, that he prayed 3 times a day. He'd go back to his apartment. He had opened the window facing Jerusalem, and he would pray to the God of the Jews. And they caught him, and they went and tattled on him. Snitches. The penalty, we know. Get thrown to the lions. Hungry lions. These lions only ate when food was dropped into them. The king realizing what he had done. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we realize what we did a little bit too late? That sounds like a good idea. Oh yeah, let's pump Art up a little bit more. Let's get him to make this law. This law can always bite you. Understand that. They throw Daniel in there. Daniel's like, hey, I'm in. All right. Pulled a rock over it. I've always loved that picture. I came across one the other day. I told Angel, I said, this picture was the picture of Jonah and the whale in my grandma's gigantic Bible. I said, I love that. Always loved it. Well, there was one other one. It was Daniel with the lions. And he's standing there, and there's a lion standing before him, and he's petting it. See, God says, shut their mouths. It's not that they weren't hungry. It's not that they didn't think about eating him. God shut their mouths. You can't open your mouth, you can't eat. Darius rushes out the crack of dawn the next morning, has the stone moved. Daniel, my friend, are you alive? Why would Darius ask such a thing? Except that maybe he knew there was something special about Daniel and that God was real. Maybe he realized that. He gets out there and Daniel says, oh yes, my king, I am fine. My God has silenced their hunger. Then come out, my friend. He looks at the satraps. They got their family there. Guess what, boys? Go feed the lions. Wow. He followed God. He was doing what God. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They followed God. They served God with their hearts. Their heart's desire was to please God. And when they refused to bow to this idol that was 90 feet tall, they said, we won't bow. They said, well, then we will fry you. Good luck. They wrapped them with ropes, and they had the most valiant, means in their case, they looked at strength as being valor. We all know that that doesn't actually correlate. And they bound them up, and it says that the men who took them died from the heat before they got to the furnace. Think about that, how hot it is. I mean, I've built some fires. I had one fire one night burning some pallets. The neighbors called me from a half mile down the road and said, Art, is your barn on fire? We can see flames over the top of it. I have a 40-foot tall barn. By the way, it was so hot, I was sitting in the field. Like, yeah, we won't have a fire that big again. But that's how hot this kiln was. They get in there, they're thrown in, their ropes instantly catch fire and burn off. Their clothes don't. Their hair's not burning. They start walking around, and as they're walking around, there appears another man. And Nebuchadnezzar says, hey, yo, didn't we throw three guys in? The fourth one, where'd he come from? He looks like the Son of God. See, when God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's exactly what he meant. He went in the fire with them. They had to go into fire. See, we make some decisions that create problems, but sometimes our faith will create the problems. And God said, I will still have your back. God still had Abraham's back, didn't he? Even though he disobeyed, he took Lot with him. God worked it out. God continued to bless him. See, we think that opposition is a bad thing. No. It just means you're alive. Anybody figure that out? Can anybody, I mean, this. When I ask people this, sometimes they get real religious on me. I don't remember anything before salvation. Please check the religious code at the door. Do you remember your life before? Did bad things happen? Did you still get flat tires? Did your engine still knock? Did you still get a hole in the roof? Water in your basement? That annoying coworker. What about, why? Why didn't things change? It's life. Yes, I'm looking around. There it is. Thank God these aren't my other jeans with pockets down to here. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, that in Christ, not in yourselves, Not in your government. Ronald Reagan was right when he said, these are the scariest words. I'm here from the government and I'm here to help. In the world, you will have tribulation. We are in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get this straight. We are not of the world. We do not think like the world. We should not think like the world. In this world, you will have tribulation. Grab my Bible. This study Bible, they actually put the breakdown of this word from the... Where did I leave them? Oh, they're in my back pocket. You know how many times I've looked for these stupid things this morning? Last time I found them, they were on my Bible that I just laid down to go look for my glasses. Tribulation. The Greek word is thlipsis. It means pressure, oppression, stress. You had that before Christ, right? Have you had it since Christ? If you deny, I will have an altar call for all liars. Stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. That's what this word shows. It shows us that that's life. In the world, this is life. You are still in the world. We all have stress. How we handle it is different. It depends on how much you are actually letting Christ have it. There's nothing I can do. God has opened my eyes and my heart, and I know Vicki heard it this morning and a few other people, and God, this is my, and my wife, she's heard it, I forget how many times one day she heard it, maybe within 10 minutes. It was several times. Not my monkey, not my circus. It ain't my circus. It's not my problem. Why are you wanting me involved? You do not want me involved. It's not my problem. I have nothing to lose in this problem. And it was because somebody else was trying to make their problem my problem. It's not my problem. And God has been talking to me a lot lately about this kind of stuff. Because people will call, oh, I need this. You know what? It's not my problem. I preach to you. What you do with the Word of God is up to you. You can sit there and flit it away. Or you can hold on to the garbage you were taught 30 years ago. Oh, God brings this affliction upon us. It's in the world. It's a part of life. You're going to get stuck in traffic. Somebody's going to pull out in front of you and you're going to have to kick your cruise off. That's her pet peeve. Don't make me turn my cruise off. Whatever it is. Oh, this stinking rain. I was going to go mow the yard today. What else could you do today? Oh, I don't know. You could probably go read a book, sit down, let the stress run off your shoulders, let it go, let it go. How about that? How about that kind of stuff? How about we trust God? How about we trust that He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Let me see if I can figure out what I did here. It may have went the wrong way. Oh, nope, there it is. Because I did not finish. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Turn that frown upside down. Quit looking like you've been baptized in vinegar and weaned on a dill pickle. He said, I have overcome the world. Now, Here's a falsehood that I have heard taught out of this very scripture. He's already overcome it, so you don't have to go through it. Then that makes the statement he said above it a fat out lie. You will have tribulation. Has anybody had tribulations yet this morning? We all maybe did. You know what my tribulation was? There was a huge buck walking across the neighbor's yard this morning. Justin just got off the phone. He's like, Dad, there's this big old buck. And I'm looking for him, looking for him. And when we hung up, I saw him. He was just over there rubbing his antlers in the trees. And I'm like, he's a nice buck. I don't have permission to shoot him over there. But if he comes over here, if I can get him over here, you know what my tribulation was? Go hunting or preach. It wasn't a close call. But if he had came in the yard, I would have shot him. But folks, in all seriousness, when the things that we let get us down, they're talking layoffs. You know what? I've been laid off. I remember when I started in April, got to June. And as soon as I got to June, these other guys in the factory, I worked at Flexible, they're like, hey, we're going to strike. We're going to strike. You better get ready. We're all going to be laid off. We're going to strike. I'm like, why? You went back for a nickel less an hour. This is stupid. But hey, stupid is as stupid does. And then they say, oh, there's rumors of layoffs coming. Hey, I can start a rumor too. You don't listen to rumors. And this one guy, he was just a little worry wart. He's a nice guy, but what a worry wart. What are we going to do if they lay us off? I said, I don't care. They're not my provider. God's my provider. Well, they did end up laying us off. They also shut the doors forever. And I got to walk my walk, walk my talk, so to speak, as it says, because they shut it down. And I'm here to tell you, God is my provider. Didn't mean we didn't get behind on our rent. I worked some of it off. I did other things to try to make a little extra money to get it caught back up. I did what I could do. Maybe even a few things I couldn't do. But I did them. It doesn't mean that we're not going to face opposition. It doesn't mean that life is just going to go along so swimmingly. You have to choose to be of good cheer. See, he said, be of good cheer. Obviously, there's a decision you can make. You can be of good cheer, or you can be grumpy puss. Well, quit being the other one. Be of good cheer. I'm in hell right now, and God is with me. How about that? How about quit complaining about your situation if you're not going to poop or get off the pot? How about that? How about we start taking responsibility for our inactions, our lack of faith? Do you know what it took for me to get out of the Marine Corps? I had to have faith that God was going to provide for me, because for 4 years, every 2 weeks, I received a paycheck. I had housing. I knew exactly what I was going to wear. I knew exactly where I could eat. I had that. I got out and got stuck in a job that got lied to about how much I was to make. They were awful people. And yet God provided for us. God moved in our lives. And when I got tired of the situation, I left. Walked away. And God had the door ready. Put me in a job that I was like, man, I kind of like it. It's kind of almost a shame we're moving back to Ohio now. As a matter of fact, the guy's wife asked him, will you make him a supervisor so he'll stay? Jackie, I'm sorry. God told us to go home. I love building these barns. But I don't want to disobey God. He told us to go back home. And so we did. And this is why. Do you know how much faith it took and to believe that God was going to start something good with my screwed up life? That I could actually help people? It was the same amount of faith that Jesus said, all you need is a little bit. The same faith Noah built an ark. Abraham took a walk. Daniel said a prayer. All of this leads down to that point. You have to do something. You can be of whiny butt. That's what we'll call it. You got good cheer and whiny butt. You can ask my family. That's a term I use quite often. You can do one of the two, but you can't do them both. And by the way, God doesn't answer and respond to whiny butt. He responds to good cheer because that's faith in him. He said, but be a good cheer in him because he's already overcome the world. So in other words, I've overcome it. Yeah, you know what, Vicky? You might have a flat tire. It's inevitable, honestly. We're going to get a flat tire sometime. I had a brand new tire on my truck. $170. Piece of metal stuck in the side of it. We were going on vacation in 2 days. And the truck fell off the jack that day without a tire on it. The jack collapsed. Don't trust those factory jacks with a truck. I went and bought me a bottle of hydraulic 12-ton jack. I'm like, it's heavy, but it's not going to drop my truck. Yeah, it kind of got me a little upset. But I kept pursuing. I'm going to find cheer. I'm going on vacation. Praise God, I'm going on vacation. I had to go buy another new tire because they couldn't fix that one. Had a great vacation. Great time. How you respond, do you respond in faith or do you respond and just shutting down and whining? That's what happens. Oh, God, you just don't know my situation. You just don't know what I'm believing. Yeah, God already does. He said I already overcame it. He says, yeah, they may have treated you bad, but I get the last laugh. I've already overcome them. They will stand before me. And God's going to parade Sarah up there and say, Sarah, come here. And he's going to look at whoever. Remember how you treated her? Remember the things you said to her? Maybe the things you did. The lies maybe you spread about her. Understand something. She loves me. And I love those who love me. And I will defend those who love me. Depart into utter darkness. Now, because I know Sarah, she's going to be praying for those people. Because that's where we should all be. Yeah, they're going to go to hell. Yahoo! Do you know how many believers I've heard say stupid stuff like that? They're going to get theirs in hell. Is there something wrong in your brain housing group? That you rejoice that one person went to hell? God didn't rejoice when Hitler went. He didn't rejoice if bin Laden's there. He may still be alive in my book. We created him, come on. And we capture him. Yes, your government lies, by the way. Yeah, no. They're truthful about everything. Mm-hmm. 81 million voters. Yep. Anyhow, that's a little political. I should stay out of it. But folks, God didn't rejoice. He doesn't rejoice over one person going to hell. That's why he said, I'll leave the 99 to go find the one. But the people, the religious spirit, says they're just going to hell. They're going to get their due desserts. That is pure, nasty, disgusting religion. Their hearts, our hearts should be broken when somebody dies and their eternity is hell because they didn't know Jesus. We got to spend more time praying for those people that hurt us than we do whining about them. Well, they did this to me. Okay, pray. Pray. Pray for the love of God. Pray for them. That is how you serve God. That is how you're obedient to God. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gave his life an hour later. He was handed over. Well, it was actually about 3 hours later, wasn't it? Based on what we've seen. He went and prayed after that. He was betrayed that very morning. He loved Judas. It broke his heart what Judas had to do. Because there was something good about Judas. Well, he was just a traitor. The traitors are the ones that are twisting and perverting the word of God to their own gain. That's the traitors. Our message should be of hope, not of riches. God wants you blessed. But let's get off of the train that says it's all about blessing. I don't care about the blessing. Do you understand? If people are going to hell, I've missed the train. I missed the mark that I'm not preaching the truth. I heard one person say, Jesus talked about more money more than he did anything. The only things I found that Jesus talked about money was the fact that it will lead you astray because your confidence will be in that money. And I know most of you, if you didn't, I did. I had me a good old time sitting out there at my fire the other night thinking how I would spend $2 billion. Trying to figure out how to do it so that my name wouldn't get in the paper so that I could bless people without them coming to me every 5 seconds. Because here's what I'm here to tell you. We still get that stuff. We have ministries we've never heard of. We don't even know these people. Ministries that are parts of other churches, oh, we hear you give money. Well, we give money to who God leads us to. We pray. And God has been leading me to some other people that are getting a little more detailed, working in people's lives on the street, working in prisons. They're not part of a global ministry. Those are great. They have their purpose. But so do the ones who are getting down nitty-gritty with people. I know Petra came out with a song years ago, said we got to take our message back to the streets. People aren't saved in coliseums anymore. And honestly, most of the time, the people in those coliseums already went to church. Why are you getting saved again? I shouldn't have to lead you in a prayer of salvation every week so that you can get your life right with Christ. Do you know what you need? You really want to know what you need? You need a size 8 up the side of your keister. You don't need to get saved every week. You fell down. Running back drops the ball, Joe. What do you do? Time to get shake it off. Give it to him again. You're gonna hold that ball. I was a terrible painter. I put so much paint on there. And we actually did. We put 6 times more than what you actually put on anything in one shot. And it was hard to do, and I couldn't get it. My boss threatened to fire me. He didn't tell me that, but it got out. He held my head under that water. We called our spray booth the swamp. It was a downdraft booth. This paint had 90% solids. I don't even think it's legal anymore. By the end of the week, I didn't take off. I would take off my uniform pants and set them down. The legs were so stiff. They were coated in paint. And I've told this story before, but I'm here to tell you, folks, he held my head under the water until I painted the best. And then I quit. It was God's timing. He needed me to go somewhere else. Because at that point, it was about me learning some other lessons in life. He moved me to the job that, honestly, I have to say I hated the most. I hated and loved it the most like I did the Marine Corps. But this one, I had a family that I had to support. And I couldn't just reach up and deliver somebody of the demon of stupidity that ran out of their mouth every so often. No matter how bad I wanted to, God will do that. He will hold you in faith. He's going to be there for you. Don't let that pass. Don't get off and say, hey, you know, I'm just having a bad week. Hey, you know what? Go sit down in your favorite chair. Close your eyes. Well, I'm going to fall asleep. Good. Good. Do you know falling asleep while you're praying is not a bad thing? Well, yeah, I was brought up, you're showing such disrespect to the Lord. And finally, I heard somebody a couple years ago said, you know how I, when sleep is running away from me, and I kind of figured that out one time, but I thought, oh no, I don't dare say this out loud. That's sacrilegious. If you start praying, I guarantee you, you'll go to sleep. You know why? Because the devil don't want you praying. And he will not keep the sleep from you any longer. And if you keep praying, get up and you pray, because baby, there's an anointing on you to be praying right then. And the devil is running away. Because I found that there's days when I have to pray, I can pray for hours and not think about it. But if sleep won't come, start praying. You wake up in the middle of the night, why am I awake at 2 a.m? Huh. I'm going to start praying. Who am I to pray for, Lord? He'll start telling you who to pray for. You start praying for him. That's all there is to it. But do not think for one minute that God ever left. He's right there with you, and he's already overcome all this stuff. You may not see what happens right away, but I promise you, you will. All right, let's stand. Just so you know, God's not concerned about building a ministry either. He's about building people. If we're worried about building the ministry, well, we need, I keep seeing all this stuff because of the church and all this. You need to focus your emails when you're sending them out to all these people for this age group. This is how you need to word it. You know what? I refuse to participate in that. I have email. We have internet. These things are of no problem. Where I have the problem is where we forget to tell people that God loves them and how much he loves them and why he loves them and that he gave us a way out. That's when I have a problem, when we fail to do that. These Operation Christmas Child boxes we're sending out, they're going to go with the message of hope. Does every kid, every family receive Jesus Christ? Probably not. But if one did, it's worth the millions of boxes that have been sent out. One. And we know for a fact that there's more than one. So yes, it's worth it. It is worth it for children's lives to be changed and their families' lives to be changed. You know, the young lady we sponsor through Compassion, she's not quite 17 yet, but she's 16 and growing in a place where there's not much hope for anything for her. But you know, we've been able to make sure she gets the word of God. She gets clothes. She gets food. And God has provided everything. When they've needed more money for it, God provided it. And I'm going to tell you what, it just does my heart good to see her grow. Because we didn't have a daughter. So we adopted her. Anyhow, let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we are grateful, Father, that you have given us examples of our heroes of faith, Father. For these men and women who have gone, they've done the things. Sometimes they had to step out of their comfort zones, like Esther did. Lord, I thank you that you're helping us all to overcome these things as you have overcome them. Father, we will choose to be of good cheer instead of the whiny butt. Lord, we will walk victoriously. We will not let the things of the world easily set us aside anymore. Now, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that your healing power is going out right now to all these people today who are sick. Father, I bind sickness and disease. I speak life and health to their bodies right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, those who are traveling, we pray for the traveling mercies, Lord. Be with them, set your angels round about them today. And now, Father, for these that are here, I bless them. Father, I bless them, and I ask that you bless them overly and abundantly. Pour out the blessing in their lives, Father. Even if that blessing just results in them seeing something that makes their heart cheerful. Lord, I thank you for them. I ask that you move mightily in their midst. Father, every door that is being opened to come against them, Father, slam that thing shut. Father, every flood that is coming to destroy them, raise up that standard. In Jesus' name, amen.